Divided Kingdom Evening News Watchman Program. Lou Caverly and I, Elizabeth Cuppet Caverly, are your co-hosts, here to give warnings and always the witness that Jesus Christ is real and that salvation is freely given through repentance and acceptance of Him as Savior. And snow has come to Maryland. We really didn't have much snow at all till about 2 days ago. It makes everything look more beautiful. And we know that old hymn, "This is my Father's world." And Lou, you can correct me if I'm wrong. Isn't there a stanza that says, "Though the wrong oft seems so strong, God is the ruler yet"?
I think that's very, very close. Yes.
And I believe since the coup has come to America, we know that there is a free Masonic, Jesuit, CIA. We don't know who else is involved. The Bilderberg Group, Council on Foreign Relations, all of these people play a role. And the coup now does seem to be complete. The people in flyover country have no political power whatsoever left. And Lou and I, of course, were very shocked, disheartened, upset. We've worked very hard. We've been under great attacks from Satan. I've discussed my December 10th fall when I was thrown halfway across the living room, not completely healed from that yet. But at the same time, we know that we are in favor with the Lord because we have repented, and we repent daily, and we do what He asks us to do, and we care about His people. We just think it's an anathema that the people who had the power did not or could not save the Republic. And we still wonder a lot about President Trump. Perhaps God isn't finished with him. Perhaps he will still rise to an important role in saving our republic later. But, you know, we saw the politician look at Dan Quayle, and he said, "You think you're JFK?" He says, "I knew JFK, and you're no John F. Kennedy." So there are very few figures in history who really make us remember them decades later. Lincoln, of course, was one, because Lincoln did have the courage to take on the entire system and save our country. So we really don't know what the story was. When all the leftist cities went into flames and President Trump and A.G. Barr did nothing, nothing happened. Things seemed to be allowed to happen. We waited for that decertification, the declassification dump of the important fraud with the election. We know our whole country practically elected Donald Trump as president, and the lawlessness now that is just there. We have an imposter president, one we never elected. It's no longer a constitutional republic. We have to face that. And we just really have to wonder why Kevin McCarthy, according to the Gateway Pundit, met with President Trump. Here was the headline. "Kevin McCarthy meets with President Trump a week after throwing him under the bus and blaming him for U.S. Capitol riots." This was Jim Hoft, January 28th, with friends like Kevin McCarthy and the GOP elites. Who needs enemies? GOP Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy told House members last week that President Trump, quote, "bears responsibility for the Capitol riots on January 6th. McCarthy should be asked to explain his words. After President Trump asked for a peaceful march to the U.S. Capitol, how does that make him culpable for the ensuing riots that started before he was even finished with his speech? The Democrats just stole a landslide victory from President Trump and America. They are quickly moving to silence all of their opposition online and in the public sphere. But the leaders of the GOP think it is best to attack President Trump." On Thursday, Republican Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy flew to Mar-a-Lago to meet with President Trump. And I saw a picture. I'm interjecting here, Elizabeth. They were both beaming. They were just as happy as if President Trump had been inaugurated. Back to the article, it's not clear what the two men talked about, but they put out a joint statement after their visit. President Trump promised to help Republicans in the 2022 elections. I remember years back when Alex Jones said if Trump ever turned, he would turn against Trump. And we do wonder what has happened. I saw a difference when I heard President Trump say about the first stimulus, "You have your big money." And I thought, our big money? Here, Lou and I struggle year after year to do this radio work. And there's nobody financing us except a few of you listeners helping now and then. One dear lady, a widow, has been helping us with $100 a month since about the year 2006. And that's really something I think that makes her blessed in the eyes of God, that she would do this. And God has blessed her. We have about two others who help us fairly regularly. But it's just a small amount. But it's a miracle, Lou, isn't it, that God has kept us going from 2003 till now.
Yes, it is.
You looked at me yesterday because I handle the money, and you said, "What? Do we have six loans?" Didn't you?
Yes, I did. Yeah.
You didn't realize. Sometimes I didn't really want to worry you. You were working, and I did not really want to stress you out by pointing that fact out to you. But God can keep the righteous people safe. That's what we're telling you tonight. So if this was all theater, perhaps President Trump was told by the elite, you can be president, and we will let you do a few things in the economy. But, you know, ultimately, we're going to crash the economy after you spend the trillions of dollars on the military and everywhere else, so that the national debt will be so off the scale that it's inevitable that there will be a crash and then we can have the great reset. We don't know. And yet, on the other hand, I think about the President Trump, before I saw the President Trump come on as the stooge of the big pharma complex, when he said, the vaccines are coming. Before that, he was the champion of hydroxychloroquine, that drug that the head of the Lupus Foundation of America had used for 43 years in something like 2,400 patients, never a death, never a hospitalization. And now, finally, you see, after Biden is ensconced, they can now admit in the press, you saw it, Lou, didn't you, that hydroxychloroquine is effective.
That's right.
They'll tell us after they have us in chains, you know, that, yes, you once had freedom. Oh, yes, you once had a republic. You once had a constitution, but you don't anymore. This is the way the things go. But before all that happened, I thought that it was really wonderful that President Trump stopped sending abortion money overseas, that he took us out of the Paris Climate Treaty Accords, that he tried to bring the soldiers home, and we see that's being reversed. This is so perniciously evil. So, you see, we don't know, but we do know we can no longer put our faith in any human being. And sometimes a human being falls because he has too much hubris, too much pride. I did this. We did this. No one was ever like us. You have to beware, and each of us has to beware of that. Lou and I have to be careful of that, too. We cannot go into that kind of a sphere. But tonight, we must warn you, because it's important now that you become close to the Lord spiritually. This is absolutely important, that you pray to Jesus and you begin to read the Bible and you begin to trust him and you do his will. If he wants you to tell others about our program so they can be warned, so that they won't drop dead from vaccines, some have. Some have dropped dead. We're not conspiracy theorists. We're just reporting what we can document. If God wants you to tell people to go to DividedKingdomRadio.com, perhaps you will. They can hear our archives, our warning programs, DividedKingdomRadio.com. They can hear us on WWCR, WWCR.com, Thursday evenings, 8 o'clock Eastern Time, also on 4.840 megahertz. They can hear the repeat on Saturday mornings on 7.490 megahertz. They can hear us at Liberty Works Radio Network, LWRN.net, Mondays at 5 p.m. and also on kstartalkradio.com. And there we can be heard on Saturdays at 5 p.m., repeating at 10 a.m. on Sundays. Now, we're moving on, because tonight's program theme is Culture of Death on a Rampage.
Yes, this is Lou speaking. Here's the first returning endorsement of institutionalized homicide to be spread missionary-like to the world. The headline.
And I have to interrupt.
Yeah.
We say returning because President Trump had abolished it.
That's right. And the headline ties right in with that. Biden reverses Trump's restrictions on abortion with executive orders. Washington. President Joe Biden issued an executive order Thursday bolstering access to abortions both in the U.S. and globally. The move reverses former President Donald Trump's restrictions on U.S. funding related to abortions and abortion referrals. Biden favors abortion rights and promised to undo Trump's policies related to reproductive rights and abortion services and referrals during the 2020 presidential campaign. Trump opposes abortion rights. His administration restricted U.S. funding for international groups that performed or gave out information on abortions. Biden reversed that policy Thursday. He also ordered a review with likely changes to or elimination of a Trump policy that restricted federal family planning funding for groups in the U.S. who offer abortion referrals. Quote, "It is the policy of my administration to support women's and girls' sexual and reproductive health and rights in the United States, as well as globally," Biden said in the order. Biden said Trump's ban on U.S. funding for international groups hurts women's rights. Quote, "These excessive conditions on foreign and development assistance undermine the United States' efforts to advance gender equality globally by restricting our ability to support women's health and programs that prevent and respond to gender-based violence," Biden said in his order. Abortion rights advocates welcome the change of course. Quote, "After 4 years of unyielding attacks on reproductive freedom by the Trump administration, we celebrate President Biden putting an end to the harmful global gag rule and rolling back the domestic gag rule. This move sends a message at home and around the world that the new Biden-Harris administration understands that reproductive freedom is central to the pursuit of equity and justice," said NARAL Pro-Choice America President Elise Polk in a statement. Abortion rights opponents criticized Biden's actions. Quote, "During the presidential campaign, Joe Biden made it clear that promoting abortion would be a priority in his administration, and it would be done at the expense of taxpayers," said Carol Tobias, president of National Right to Life. She went on to say, "It is not surprising that his first actions are to dismantle both international and domestic protections that have saved countless lives and put taxpayer money in the pockets of abortionists." Abortion was center stage for Trump's three U.S. Supreme Court nominees during his term, including the 2020 confirmation of Justice Amy Coney Barrett. The more conservative Barrett succeeded Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who died last year and was a strong advocate for abortion rights. Biden's order comes as South Carolina and other conservative states look at new abortion restrictions, which will end up in court challenges and potentially before the U.S. Supreme Court.
"Nothing is really new. God so abhorred the ancient Israelites' murderous rites up in the groves as they threw their infants into the fires of Moloch worship. Eventually, that he changed Israel's borders. You see, they became overthrown by foreigners, and God spit the Israelites out of their land."
That God action is commonly, in theological terms, called God's judgment. "We've spoken of politicians given over to the satanic culture of death. Governor Cuomo lighting up the Empire State Building to celebrate the passage of New York's infanticide law. Not to mention Governor Ralph Northam's advice to keep the tiny babies who lived on despite their attempted abortion, murder, to keep them comfortable," unquote, until further decisions and plans of murder could be figured out.
"Horrible as this reprobate mind against God is, and we include the revelations of Lynn Wood about the blackmailing techniques that the deep state has of compelling the so-called candidates to rape a child, murder a child, and then have it videotaped. This is something that God will not let stand, and the people who are doing this and do not repent will be in the fires of hell, as surely as Scripture tells us they will." So, Lou, this reprobate mind against God, it takes on even more symbolic significance as a holy God begins a judgment at the church house. And it's more than symbolic, and yet we think of the cross and we think of the resurrection. This is a very important symbol that comes. It's different from secular life. It still has a difference. It has a meaning that Jesus Christ died for us. But the church house has some of those shepherds that the Bible talks about. They're lying. They're dumb like dogs. And some of them are devious like wolves, wolves in sheep's clothing. So this program has documented the acceptance of aborted fetal cell lines behind COVID-19 vaccines by some so-called eminent, famous religious leaders and institutions. One was Albert Mohler. He's the preeminent American Southern Baptist church leader. Another was Pope Francis in the Vatican and some of the Roman Catholic archbishops.
And now we've heard allegations that clerical approval has been given to the COVID vaccines derived from aborted fetal cell lines by personages such as Dr. Franklin Graham, Gordon Robertson, son of 700 Club founder Pat Robertson, and Dr. Robert Jeffress. If true, this is indeed a sad commentary on the moral contamination of some leaders who formerly did some fine things for the Lord.
In the Bible, God tells us about men being given over to the reprobate mind. When this happens, good becomes evil and evil good in the perception of such a satanically influenced or even devil-possessed mind. Listen to part of columnist Stephen Roberts' January 31st syndicated column, "The Picture Behind Biden," by Stephen Roberts. And this is not the Chief Justice, John Roberts. This is Stephen Roberts, widower of Cokie Roberts, who also was a columnist who was very anti-Trump. "The Picture Behind Biden." Before his swearing in as president for Joe Biden, attended Catholic Mass. At his inauguration, the invocation was delivered by the Reverend Leo O'Donovan, a Jesuit priest. We have to interrupt to point out the Jesuit connection behind the coup is undoubtedly very, very strong. Perhaps it's the key one. We know that the Jesuits were deeply involved in the assassination of Abraham Lincoln. And years earlier, as a young barrister, Lincoln had defended Father Charles Chiniquy, who had left the Jesuithood, left the Jesuits and the Roman Catholic Church. And the Jesuits had a lawsuit, I guess, against Father Charles Chiniquy. And Lincoln was successful with this lawsuit. But Father Charles Chiniquy said, "They will never forget this. They will get you." And there were many other things that we couldn't go into here, but history has been sanitized. You will never find this in the normal history books that come out of the mainstream, certainly not now that we have global education. And so we just point this out, that this is one more aspect of the coup that has now taken us over. So back to Stephen Roberts' article. Later, as Biden placed a wreath at the tomb of the unknown soldier, he made the sign of the cross. When he sat at his desk in the Oval Office for the first time, a picture of Biden greeting Pope Francis was clearly and deliberately visible right behind him. These are all strong statements about Biden's faith and focus. Out of 46 presidents, he is only the second Catholic, a full 60 years after John F. Kennedy became the first, and he has to rank as one of the most openly devout chief executives we've ever had. That piety provides a direct contrast to Biden's predecessor, who hardly ever attended church, married three times, and boasted about his predatory sexual escapades and business practices. Now, this is Elizabeth Cuppy Cavalry. I have to interject here. That same former president talked openly to Hillary that it wasn't right to kill a baby that was 9 months along in the mother's womb. And that same president talked about the sanctity of life and, I think, passed a late executive order about it. Back to the article that Stephen Roberts has written, this glowing tribute to our new imposed president. More importantly, Biden is a progressive social justice Catholic. Oh, we're getting to the truth, Lou, now. Here we come.
Yeah.
He summed up his guiding philosophy during a eulogy for George Floyd. "Faith without works is dead. And Sister Carol Keehan, the former head of the Catholic Health Association, told NPR he's very clear about justice. When Joe Biden talks about faith, he talks very much about things like the Gospel of Matthew. What you've done to the least of my brothers, you've done to me. Now, we could there again examine, this is Elizabeth again, the reprobate mind can twist anything around. And we can take those words from Matthew and we can wonder, why aren't the little unborn babies worthy of this same thing? This, what you've done to the least of my brothers, you've done to me. Murdering the little unborn babies, keeping them on a table if they survive a little while, like Northam said, to keep them comfortable. Do we see how sick and twisted and perverse this country has become? Because we have people in leadership who think like this, they are absolutely demon-influenced, devil-influenced. They have to be. Now, Stephen Roberts continues, with Biden, a different, more liberal Christianity is ascendant, wrote the New York Times. Less focused on sexual politics and more on combating poverty, climate change, and racial inequality. His leadership, added the Times, is a repudiation of the claim by many conservatives that Democrats are inherently anti-Christian. No one has to wonder what drives Joe Biden. Just look at the picture of Pope Francis behind him.
According to the Bible, the heart of man is desperately wicked. The moral aspects of the soul become distracted and distorted. Satanic belief usurps reverence for God's scripture and laws. And then political expediency takes over. Hubris, greed, and lies help to bring us things like hasty, unproven vaccines under warped speed. The diabolical Protestant and Roman Catholic Surrender Caucus, endorsing fetal cell-derived COVID vaccines, then gives dark side actors like Dr. Anthony Fauci encouragement, not only to be involved in NIIT giving...
Oh, that's NIH.
Oh, NIH.
I wrote
okay.
that note and you couldn't read my H. Is that,
yes, that's
H?
Right. Not only to be involved in NIH giving $3+ million to the Wuhan years back to develop the biological virus, but now his voice comes at our ears again. So next we have an article entitled Watch, and that's referring to a video. If you go to this website, you can actually watch the video. Dr. Fauci announces Biden administration will be sending your tax dollars overseas to fund abortion. This is by a website called The Scoop, published January 29, 2021. Dr. Fauci has announced that the Biden administration will begin ending the Trump administration's Mexico City Policy Agreement. The Mexico City Policy Agreement puts a gag rule on using federal funding to pay for abortions in foreign countries. March for Life President Jean F. Mancini tweeted out her opposition and disgust regarding Biden's move. As many of you all know, the Biden administration wants nothing to do with, quote-unquote, unity. They want to divide the country even further and continue to push their radical left-wing agenda. Former President Trump lawyer Jay Sekulow had a segment on his podcast discussing this very issue. And you can see that podcast by going to the video if you go to this website called The Scoop. And now, thankfully, the reprobate mind hasn't captured all the ordinary good Americans in flyover country. This article says, poll, 77% of Americans oppose federal funding of abortions overseas. From CNS News, January 29th. A new poll shows that 77% of Americans oppose, and that's in quotes, or, quote, strongly oppose, unquote, using tax dollars to pay for abortions overseas. And 58% oppose using taxpayer money to pay for abortions in the United States. Also, the poll shows that 70% of Americans oppose abortion if the child has Down syndrome, and 65% want, and this is in quotes, want Roe versus Wade reinterpreted to either send the issue to the states or stop legalized abortion, unquote. And Biden's actions put him at odds with the majority of Americans.
Yes, Lou, and it is vital that we recognize and applaud true Christian shepherds, whether Protestant or Roman Catholic. God calls for men and women, too, who will stand in the gap. So here's an article from Big Leak Politics, and this was January 29th, 2021, Evan James, and we're coming to you on February 4th. Catholic bishops condemn Joe Biden's executive order that will use taxpayer money to pay for abortions overseas. Two Catholic bishops, Archbishop Joseph F. Nauman of Kansas City, Kansas, and Bishop David J. Malloy of Rockford, Illinois, have released a statement blasting President Joe Biden's executive order that will allow U.S. taxpayer money to fund organizations that promote and provide abortions overseas. The statement was posted Thursday on the website of the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, USCCB. Quote, "It is grievous that one of President Biden's first official acts actively promotes the destruction of human lives in developing nations," the bishops wrote. "This executive order is antithetical to reason, violates human dignity, and is incompatible with Catholic teaching. We and our brother bishops strongly oppose this action. We urge the president to use his office for good, prioritizing the most vulnerable, including unborn children." The executive order in question rescinded the Mexico City policy, which did not consider abortion to be a family planning activity, and ensured that taxpayer money would only go to health service organizations that respected the sanctity of all life, including the lives of unborn infants. Archbishop Nauman and Bishop Malloy's joint statement continued, "As the largest non-government health care provider in the world, the Catholic Church stands ready to work with him and his administration to promote global women's health in a manner that furthers integral human development, safeguarding innate human rights and the dignity of every human life, beginning in the womb. To serve our brothers and sisters with respect, it is imperative that care begin with ensuring that the unborn are free from violence, recognizing every person as a child of God. We hope the new administration will work with us to meet these significant needs," the statement concluded. These bishops are not the only ones to speak out against President Biden on this issue. Big League Politics wrote about Archbishop Jose H. Gomez of Los Angeles and his statement that Biden has vowed to pursue an agenda, quote, "that would advance moral evils and threaten human life and dignity, most seriously in the areas of abortion, contraception, marriage, and gender." Lou, I have to interject to say that's not the reprobate mind speaking. That's
no,
Christian shepherd. That article also reports on Archbishop Salvatore Cordaleone of San Francisco's and his public criticism of Nancy Pelosi and her stance on abortion.
And now we go to the scene of events inspiring our Divided Kingdom program titled tonight, Culture of Death Goes on a Rampage. The title, California X-ray tech excited to get shots, dies after receiving second dose of Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine. Dated January 30th, 2021, from Natural News. A California health worker who was enthusiastic about the coronavirus vaccine died days after receiving the second dose. And this article is actually republished from Infowars.com, authored by Aiden Salazar. On Tuesday, Orange County X-ray technician Tim Zook, 60, was reportedly thrilled to receive the second round of Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine, posting on his Facebook wall, quote, "Never been so excited to get a shot before. I am now fully vaccinated after receiving my second Pfizer dose," unquote. But just hours later, Zook began experiencing severe adverse reactions in the form of abdominal pain and difficulty breathing. Reports Fox 32 in Chicago, quote, "His health spiraled downward and he died 4 days later," unquote. Zook's wife says doctors suspect he suffered a serious inflammatory reaction that spread to his organs, though the coroner has not yet identified a cause for death. Said the man's wife, Rochelle, quote, "The doctors believe that his body reacted to something after he took the vaccine, and they called it an inflammatory reaction. It was so intense that it started attacking major organs, and he never had a chance to recover, unquote. Despite the vaccine potentially being responsible for her husband's death, Rochelle claimed he'd still want people to take it. Quote, he believed in vaccines. I'm sure he would take that vaccine again, and he'd want the public to take it, she told the local media. She added, the message is, take the vaccine because it is far more, I think we have a little glitch here. I think what it's trying to say is take the vaccine because it's better to die from COVID than to die from a result of a vaccine. Or perhaps she meant that there's a greater chance. I think that's what she's saying.
That's probably right.
Yes. News of the death follows another death in California related to the COVID-19 vaccine last week, when local police claim, occurred within hours of receiving the first dose. The Placer County Sheriff's Department wrote on Facebook Saturday, quote, the individual was administered a COVID-19 vaccine several hours before that death on January 21st, 2021. And you can read more at Infowars.com.
And is that it for that article,
yes,
Lou?
Yes, that's it for that one.
This shows a reprobate mind, too. There was another article we didn't present about, I think, a doctor who died of a severe... No, he didn't die. He almost died of a severe anaphylactic reaction, and he was still defending it, telling people to take it. That's a kind of brainwashing that is part of the reprobate mind. And now we have... This was back on December 11th by Ethan Huff at Natural News. CNN reveals that vaccinating elderly for COVID-19 could kill them. But if you mention this anywhere, you will be banned. Is it safe for elderly people to get a Wuhan coronavirus COVID-19 vaccine? Not according to Dr. Helen Kipe Talbot of Vanderbilt University, who was the lone no vote on a CDC advisory panel that ultimately decided to recommend the experimental jab for old folks. Believe it or not, CNN recently gave Dr. Talbot a platform to express her concerns about the risks involved with giving COVID-19 vaccines to people who are frail and vulnerable. Since such folks have the highest risk of injury or death, is it really safe to jab them with something that could kill them? Dr. Talbot is not so sure, and thus does not recommend that patients living in long-term care facilities especially get vaccinated, at least not until more is known about vaccine adverse effects. Odd woman out, I guess, Dr. Talbot is quoted as saying to her colleagues, I still struggle with this. This was not an easy vote. In the event that large numbers of long-term care residents suddenly start dying from the jab, public perception of its safety and effectiveness would be tarnished, she worries. So it is not that Dr. Talbot opposes a vaccine per se, but rather that she does not want people to become scared if mass deaths occur. COVID-19 vaccines have never been tested in the most at-risk old people. If non-elderly people see elderly people dying in droves from the jab, the non-elderly will be much less likely to get vaccinated, in other words. And that was from naturalnews.com. Then we have depopulation vax. Trial subjects injected with coronavirus vaccine suddenly test positive for HIV. Updated. This was December 11th. At Natural News by Mike Adams, and he was bringing another article to us that came from Great Game India, and he first said the coronavirus vaccine is a global depopulation bioweapon. People injected with COVID-19 vaccines are suddenly testing positive for HIV, and here's the Great Game India headline, Australia scraps billion-dollar coronavirus vaccine after participants test HIV positive. The Australian government has scrapped a billion-dollar coronavirus vaccine agreement with Australian biotech company CSL, limited to supply 51 million doses of a COVID-19 vaccine being developed by the University of Queensland after several trial participants returned false positive HIV results. What's interesting is that this story is claiming the HIV tests are false positive. But if HIV is actually detected, then how is it false? Notice that when someone is found to be carrying the coronavirus, it's never called a false positive. It's simply called a positive result or a new case of infection. By that logic, these vaccine recipients should also be labeled cases of HIV. HIV protein fragments intentionally added to coronavirus vaccine. And we learned there from the story linked above, Mr. Petrovsky told the Australian the problem with the use of HIV was clear in the hamster and mouse data, but his advice was ignored. He said the early data suggested the vaccine itself was quite unstable. COVID spike proteins, like most surface viral proteins, are fairly unstable. To ensure that the vaccine induced the right immune response, the clamp chosen comprises two fragments of a protein found in HIV, as those fragments provided the greatest stability to the vaccine. So, Lou, we got to interrupt there a minute. We have to rather. In other words, they want this to hook on in our bodies, and to hook it on, these fragments that hook on are partially HIV. Does that sound good to you?
Doesn't sound good to me.
So, wait, they're using HIV components in a vaccine on purpose? Indeed, yes. And this is why it's triggering the HIV positive test results. In other words, they aren't false positives at all. They're detecting the HIV components that are being deliberately put into the coronavirus vaccine. And the article goes on, and Mike Adams says it should be readily apparent to any rational person that the coronavirus vaccine is a global depopulation bioweapon that's designed to injure, kill, or make infertile billions of human beings. Anyone who takes the coronavirus vaccine is begging for vaccine-assisted suicide, unless, of course, you are suicidal. And I believe that is it for that one. And we have a little bit more here. I think on this, we have nurse aide dies after receiving work-mandated coronavirus vaccine shot. And this was Friday, January 29th. 2021 by Davina Ramirez, Natural News. Janet Moore, a nurse aide at Admirals Point Nursing and Rehabilitation in Huron, Ohio, died within 48 hours of receiving a COVID-19 vaccine that her employer reportedly required. Moore had no known comorbidities and was found unresponsive in her car outside her apartment complex on December 31st. I'm going to interject here. Lou and I can't say with total assurance that we know these deaths were due to the vaccine. We can't say things that scientists might be able to say. We're not scientists. But we are people who are observant. And if you care about your family and friends, you're going to give some of these warnings that they should at least be careful. They should research things. They should go to naturalnews.com. They should find out some things that are important. Back to the article. And send them to our website, dividedkingdomradio.com. They can listen to our archives there. They can read our essays. And if you would like to help us stay on the air, we're definitely going to need money at the end of February, before the end, probably the last week of February. You can mail some cash. You can write a check made out only to WWCR. We can't take personal checks. You could send some postage stamps. You could send a money order to Lou Caverly, C-A-V-E-R-L-Y, Post Office Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609, and again, that is P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609, to Lou Caverly. Now, back to this nurse's aide. Her brother, Jacob Gregory, told LifeSite News that Moore was driving home from work that day. As soon as she drove into her parking lot, she passed away, he said. Oh, my word, Lou, you'd have to wonder, as a mathematician, what would the odds be in favor of the shot having killed her when she passed away so quickly while driving?
Oh, my gosh, I would have to say at least 99.99%.
Wow. Doesn't seem normal, does it? Because
no.
She didn't express any sickness or anything before that. Meanwhile, Moore's neighbor said she hadn't been feeling well after receiving the shot at work and that she reported feeling nauseated and experienced migraines. When asked if he knew what brand, oh, we had to go back when I interrupted the article. We have to know that she died within 48 hours. So perhaps your odds wouldn't be quite as great. She didn't just drive away and drop dead immediately.
Maybe make it 99.9 instead.
Okay. Meanwhile, Moore's neighbor said she hadn't been, oh, we got that. When asked if he knew what brand of vaccine Moore received, Gregory said he believes it was the one by Pfizer and BioNTech SE, but he was not entirely sure. Gregory also mentioned that his sister was reportedly required to get the vaccine because she was working with older adults who face a high risk of infection. But he said that he was not sure whether Moore would have been let go had she refused the vaccine. I'm not sure how much pressure her employers are actually pushing. Then we learn that, here's the headline, nursing home fired workers who refused to get vaccinated. In fact, workers at a nursing home in Janesville, Wisconsin, were laid off for declining to get the vaccine, even after expressing legitimate concerns. About a dozen workers were forced from their jobs, while 27 wrote to the management asking that the policy be changed. They pointed out that the Moderna vaccine, which the nursing home was using for its vaccination program, had been rushed through development and testing and may lead to dangerous adverse effects. In fact, two workers already reported experiencing high fevers after receiving the first of two vaccine shots. The side effects were so severe in one of the workers that a physician advised against taking the second shot. There's more to this, but for the sake of time, we need to move on. But we know that we can get more cases. There are more cases here listed of what has happened to people. But last December, a spokeswoman for Pfizer said the company was monitoring all reports of adverse reactions to their vaccine. Moderna hasn't commented on the matter. Related, top U.S. scientist questions Moderna's coronavirus vaccine claims. Follow Vaccines News for more articles on the health risks associated with the new coronavirus vaccines.
All right, and now we move on. In a similar vein, Florida man develops and dies from rare autoimmune disorder days after receiving Pfizer coronavirus vaccine. This was dated January 25th by Arsenio Hall at Natural News. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, the Florida Department of Health, and the Miami-Dade County Medical Examiner are investigating the sudden passing of a doctor who developed a rare autoimmune disorder several days after receiving Pfizer's coronavirus vaccine. Dr. Gregory Michael, a 56-year-old obstetrician and gynecologist from Miami, received the vaccine at Mount Sinai Medical Center on December 18th. Just 3 days after receiving the vaccine, he developed a rare autoimmune disorder known as acute immune thrombocytopenia, which prevented his blood from clotting. On January 3rd, his wife, Heidi Neckelman, wrote in a Facebook post that he had died from a brain hemorrhage. Pfizer immediately went on the defensive, releasing a statement saying that they do not believe the death was in any way connected to the vaccine. Nevertheless, the company said they had opened an investigation into the case. This is their quote. There is no indication, either from the large clinical trials or among people who have received the vaccine since the government authorized its use last month, that it could be connected to thrombocytopenia. There have been no related safety signals identified in our clinical trials. The post-marketing experience thus far, our immediate thoughts are with the bereaved family, unquote. And we could go on, but that gives us the main points. Let me see if there's anything else there that ought to be mentioned.
And I believe the website they could visit, people could visit, is vaccinedeaths.com.
I believe that's it.
Yes, and let's move right on. And I'm going to give another case. Then we're going to move to the situation update, Lou, for January 29th.
All right.
And I'll have part one. Louisiana woman suffers uncontrollable spasms after Pfizer coronavirus vaccination. This was Thursday, January 28th, by Ramon Tournay at Natural News. A woman in the state of Louisiana suffered uncontrollable spasms after she received Pfizer's Wuhan coronavirus vaccine. The woman's son posted a video on Facebook showing her entire body convulsing uncontrollably. She was admitted to the hospital following her vaccination. Brant Griner of Lake Charles, Louisiana, posted the video of his mother experiencing uncontrollable convulsions. He captioned, "This is what the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine has done to my mom. She was admitted to the hospital." Griner warned against getting the Wuhan coronavirus jab, telling people to, quote, be cautious about taking the vaccine. He added, "I'm sure it is good for some people, but you need to think about it. Is this vaccine worth taking?" The spasms experienced by Griner's mother mirrored that of another case, this time caused by Moderna's Wuhan vaccine. Oakland City, Indiana resident Sean Skelton claimed she suffered uncontrollable shaking and tongue spasms after receiving the Moderna vaccine. The nursing home employee believes that the convulsions could be a reaction to the jab. And so we go on there. We may have talked about that case earlier. Let me turn a page and see if there's something a little bit more. We talk about the rushed development, the vaccine development, the hurry of the rushed vaccine development. And that's a little redundant there. We can never say it too many times in too many ways. BioNTech co-founder Dr. Ugur Sahin said last year that he designed the BNT182B2 vaccine for Pfizer in just a few hours. Meanwhile, Moderna's vaccine took 2 days to design. The Trump administration's Operation Warp Speed fast-tracked the development of both jabs until such time that both received emergency use approval. You know, I have to ask, is this one reason God did not do a miracle like he did in 2016 and overcome the voter fraud? We don't know, but each of us has to keep our life pure in the Lord, and that means constant prayer for wisdom, for repentance. And now to size up this whole situation that we've been bringing to you about the culture of death on a rampage, we have Situation Update January 29th. By Mike Adams at Natural News. America becomes a terror state as governments wage terror campaigns against their own people. We didn't even have time to bring you something about that razor wire, that it may become permanent. We have an article out of Washington, D.C. today that it may become permanent. We'll bring you more about that next week. Natural News, in yesterday's Situation Update podcast, I revealed that all the seemingly insane events of big government can be best understood by realizing the globalists are pursuing an active campaign of global genocide against humanity. The order has gone out, and human beings are to be exterminated by the billions. This explains the engineered food scarcity, deadly vaccine injections, engineered bioweapons, deliberate economic collapse, and more. But people everywhere desire to be free, and populist uprisings are taking place everywhere across the globe, even reaching into the financial sector with the Robin Hood GameStop phenomenon that has made headlines all week. Because of their ability to communicate through decentralized platforms and electronic means, the populists are winning the war of awakening humanity to the fundamental human right to be free. This groundswell in human awakening, spurred by the junk science and media lies surrounding the plandemic of 2020, is terrifying the globalists, who now realize they are rapidly losing control of the people they seek to enslave. To try to halt the populist uprisings, governments of the world are turning to terrorism against their own people in the form of psychological terrorism and even kinetic terrorism. This shift into terror now characterizes the brutal Biden regime, which is already hard at work destroying jobs for American workers and flooding the United States with violent, illegal, alien criminals. Efforts are also underway to launch a new government police state expansion to spy on the 80-plus million people who voted for Trump and aren't buying the obviously rigged election. Rest assured that in order to justify the existence of this new police state expansion, the Biden regime will carry out large-scale false flag attacks on the U.S. soil to blame conservatives and gun owners while demanding more police state powers to spy on everyone. Gun confiscation is an important waypoint that globalists see as necessary to achieve depopulation. So the order of events goes like this. False flag event, dash, gun confiscation, dash, genocide. The false flag event, which we should expect to see this year, will be used to justify the gun confiscation that disarms the 150-plus million Americans that the brutal Biden regime seeks to exterminate with government death squads. Notably, President Trump refused to use the powers of government to protect Americans from left-wing terrorists. So Joe Biden will be happy to use the powers of government to destroy Americans using government-sponsored terrorism. This means America under Biden has become a state sponsor of domestic terrorism targeting its own voters. In other words, the swamp sees voters as the enemy, and that's why they had to separate the voters from the Capitol building using razor wire and fences that looked like a scene ripped right out of the Third Reich Holocaust camp. three black swan events that might disrupt Biden and his coming reign of terror against Americans. As far as we know, there are only three things that can prompt the military to remove Biden from power due to his acts of sedition, corruption, and treason against the United States. They are:
one, a domestic nuclear attack on a major U.S. city using dirty bombs or nuclear detonations, both of which were threatened to be used against Trump by the deep state. The most likely originators of dirty bombs or nuclear bombs in the U.S. are Democrats, deep staters, and globalists. The FBI is no doubt trying to recruit scapegoats for this scenario right now. Think about who has access to uranium: Mueller, Clinton, Brennan, and so on. You can read up on this on the Uranium One scandal. Two, a cascading debt collapse that obliterates most of the value of U.S. stocks, which would cause a collapse in pension funds, retirement investments, and equities held by tens of millions of Americans. Three, war with China. This war looks increasingly likely to occur, and China is engaged in a saber rattling against Taiwan, while the outgoing Trump administration labeled China a nation engaged in genocide and crimes against humanity. Under Trump, the U.S. dropped its One China policy and recognized Taiwan as an independent state. After any of these three possible black swan events, we anticipate regional warfare and horrific chaos. This era will be characterized by utter lawlessness, violence, arson, looting, food shortages, gun battles, and basically every nightmare scenario you can imagine. When this scenario occurs, anyone stuck in a blue city can basically kiss their chances of survival goodbye. America's cities will be turned into death zones. Biden's popularity under such circumstances would, of course, plummet well below 30%. And the U.S. military would obviously have the justification it needs to step in, remove the illegitimate pretender-in-chief Biden, and work to restore the rule of law in America, which would require holding new, honest elections using paper ballots. And Mike Adams gives a little comment at the end here. These topics and more are covered in today's Situation Update podcast. You can get those by going to his main website, naturalnews.com, and you'll see his situation updates listed at the top of his website.
And you want to have these warnings put in your individual soul. You want to have lots of food. Lou and I just made another order to Layman's in Ohio. They're connected with the Amish people, and we get canned turkey, chicken, and beef from them. We have no relationship with them. We just want to survive. And we opened a can of pork. It's not my favorite. I really don't totally recommend it. But it was, I guess now, 6 years old. It was fine. It was absolutely fine. So their things would last 5 years. You want to get out of the blue cities if it's any way possible to do it. It's so important. Let's get that article, Lou. Do you have that article there about the razor wire becoming permanent? You can find it. While you're looking for that, let me say, too, that there were a lot of increases in Blair County, Bedford County, Pennsylvania, and here in Talbot County, Maryland, after these vaccines were given. There was a record number, I think, in a week there in Pennsylvania, 7,275 cases. It was the highest ever. I think it was January 12th, yes, and the same here in that little Talbot County. So we have to wonder, is the vaccine spreading it? But now let's go to the Razor Wire article.
Yes, this
appeared February 3rd.
This article was dated January 31st.
All right, great.
Dateline Washington, the headline says, U.S. Capitol's barbed wire fences security perimeter could become permanent. The barbed wire fences, security barriers, and other increased security around the U.S. Capitol in the wake of the January 6th unrest could become more permanent. Capitol Police Chief Yogananda D. Pittman said her agency is assessing security needs and is advocating for more permanent security fences and more security forces, that's in quotes, to provide more immediate backup when necessary. In light of recent events, and this is the quote from her, in light of recent events, I can unequivocally say that the vast improvements to the physical security infrastructure must be made to include permanent fencing and the availability of ready backup forces in close proximity to the Capitol, Pittman said. Pittman took over as acting Capitol Police Chief on January 8th and has been part of increased security efforts in and around the Capitol. Pittman pointed out that there have been previous plans to install a permanent fence around the Capitol. She said, quote, I look forward to working with Congress and identifying the security improvements necessary to ensure the safety and security of the Congress and the U.S. Capitol building, unquote.
And, you know, she has to be there with her compatriot, Mayor Muriel Bowser. All these people are tools, unsuspecting tools of the New World Order. They think they're so important. Lori Lightfoot out there in Chicago, they're just poor blacks, and they'll be taught their little lesson by the globalists. There is a great hatred underneath for black people, even though the elites pretend that they're for BLM and all of this and that. No, we have the big abortion center in Houston, Texas, the biggest Planned Parenthood in America, and that's in the black neighborhood. Is there a little more to that article, Lou?
A small amount, yes. The security for Biden's inauguration was unprecedented during peacetime. There have also been new security barriers and fencing erected around the U.S. Supreme Court and other federal buildings in D.C. The security for the inauguration also included state of emergency orders in D.C. and for the entire state of Maryland. There were few arrests on Inauguration Day in D.C. on January 20th.
And Inauguration Day certainly was a strange affair. Time magazine came here to our home again. I let the subscription run out, but they made sure that I got another issue or two to make sure I could look at the imposed president or the imposter president. But it was rather strange during two parts of the inauguration, Dr. Jill appeared to have a different coat on. So we couldn't understand this too well, could we?
No, we couldn't. No. It seemed really, yeah, really mysterious.
Were certain aspects of this ceremony filmed earlier? One doesn't know, but one does know that this is a beautiful country physically. And there are still many people, millions of people, who love Jesus Christ. And they will be praying. We hope that you will be praying for God to foil the evil coup that has robbed us of our constitutional republic. And we can all have faith and hope in our individual lives. And a friend told me recently, who was so upset after everything had happened, all the fraud, she said, I decided I'm going to live the best life I can. And that's under Jesus, because she is a Christian. I think those are good words. Get some recreation this week. Get in some food and do some praying. And it will all turn out all right, because God holds the keys to eternity. Some of these people will be gone in 20 or 30 years. Bill Gates wants a global force for the vaccine. Ooh. Well, we'll see, won't we? God bless you. Good night.